Welcome to episode 111 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you. And by the end of it, you will have a new insight into the chicken and egg expression. Know the difference between a poll, survey, and questionnaire. Get our opinion of what comes first, confidence or success, and get an in-depth story of Alistair's experience learning French. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. Today we are going to be talking about something that is very, very important. I would say it's almost the most important thing related to your language learning journey. And just to give you a clear idea of what exactly that is, it's all to do with your brain and your mindset. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to delve into that particular concept, that all the things that you need to think about in relation to your mindset, and hopefully be a very, very powerful episode for you. And as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you, Daniel?
I'm fine. Yeah. Good. So I wanted to start off this particular episode with a little bit of an expression, to be honest, which is the chicken or the egg, right? We have that expression in English, right? The chicken or the egg. And in Spanish, it's very similar, right? The expression.
Well, it's the same, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe the opposite way around, perhaps?
I think it is the opposite way around. In Spanish, I think you say el huevo o la gallina, right? And in English, we say, is it the chicken or the egg?
We put the chicken first. Although, ironically, because the question is, which comes first?
Yes.
Well, purely in terms of order of the words, it's different in English and Spanish, but obviously we're not talking about that. We're talking about the concept.
Kind of, it is kind of ironic, right? That it's different in both languages. But anyway.
So whichever way around it is, doesn't matter where you say the chicken and the egg or the egg and the chicken, is the question is which comes first.
That's right.
Because you can't one without the other. This is the philosophical conundrum, if you like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're going to discuss a chicken or egg question today. We'll come on to that in a minute, because what I wanted to do initially is really just find out a little bit about what people feel kind of delivers a high level in a certain language. Obviously, we're talking about English and we're talking about professional English in this particular case, right? And what delivers that? What sort of ingredients are involved in getting to a high level of business English, let's say. And I was so interested in this particular question that I decided to do a poll, right, on LinkedIn.
Which is an inquesta, no?
Inquesta, yeah, exactly.
P-O-L-L, poll.
Yeah, a poll. And so in this particular poll, I decided to ask just a very simple question, in fact, which is, what comes first? So again, it is the chicken and egg idea, right? What comes first? Is it first success and then confidence? Or is it confidence then gives success, right? And so this is a particular, LinkedIn is quite nice in the way that it allows you to do this poll and you see the results. And what was interesting for me in this particular case was that I was quite surprised by the result. Okay, and I'll give you the result now, Alistair. It was that only 14% said that success then gives confidence. And a massive 84% said confidence gives success. Okay?
Interesting.
Now, it's kind of interesting, right? And I was super surprised by that because actually from my experiences, I always feel, or I've always felt in the past, that these sort of little bits of success are what has provided sort of the confidence for me, right? And I think what I was doing there was probably just thinking in my mind about, you know, what has given me success in the past. It may have been languages. It may have been something else, you know, something unrelated to languages as well.
Subject
right?
at school that you were good at, for example, or a sport or something like this.
And we were discussing this question, right, before we started recording. And maybe the key thing here is that the 84% were actually thinking of a different moment in time. And they were thinking more related to their context at the moment. But let's quickly go into what I feel, why I feel success brings confidence, okay? Because I think that's kind of interesting in itself, right? Because it's about the idea that, okay, if I'm good at something at school, let's say I'm good at sport or I'm good at geography, or I notice that I get good marks in a particular subject quite easily.
Well, you enjoy it, you like it as well.
Yeah, exactly. That gives me the confidence to kind of like say, okay, this is for me, and I'm kind of sort of motivated at that point, right? And so I thought that that's what the poll would come out with, but it didn't. So it was kind of interesting in that way, don't you think, Alistair?
It is. Well, we discussed that before. You asked me the question, so I've never really thought about this, to be honest. Okay. And you asked me what my opinion was, and I wasn't quite sure. I had to think about it. Well, the problem is, precisely, it's a chicken and egg problem. So I think my first answer was like, well, you know, you can't have one without the other, and each of them influences the other, which is like a chicken and egg situation. But then you said, yeah, but if you have to choose, like, which one do you think comes first? Which was, by the way, just so people listening may be thinking, but isn't... you said a poll, or we said P-O-L-L, poll.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people won't know that word. It's not as commonly known. Yeah. And we said, oh, it's an inquesta. Yeah. And I think people are going, isn't an inquesta a survey? And yes, it is.
True.
So, I mean, just so people aren't too confused, there are two words, or maybe three, sort of questionnaire, survey, poll, are all very similar things that you could all translate them all by inquesta.
Yeah.
So just so people know that. So it's poll is a kind of survey, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were surprised by the results. I had to think, am I surprised by the results? I don't know. I had to think about myself. In fact, you asked me, what about your learning experience of Spanish? Now, what did you think came first? Which we had a bit of a chat about, which maybe we'll come back to maybe soon. No?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. It's definitely chicken egg. Both are very important. Each one influences the other. Each one, there's a good expression, each one feeds off the other. So if you have one, obviously that creates the other and vice versa.
Yeah.
But which is more important and which comes first? Well, I think I agree with you, finally. You convinced me that I think in general, with things not just language, you were talking about sport or anything. So if you feel you're good at something, now why you're good at it is another question. Could be another chicken and egg. I'm not sure. You maybe have some innate talent that you're born with that you know, you're good at certain things and you discover you're good at them. Whether it's a subject, you know, I was terrible at maths, but I was terrible at science at school. Why? I don't know. Maybe my brain just doesn't work in a logical, scientific way.
Sure.
Who knows why? But I was very bad at those subjects and I hated them. I wasn't motivated because I wasn't good at them. Got bad results, had no confidence. Whereas things I did like and was good at, why I was good at them, I don't really know. Like geography, history, humanities or arts, or whatever you want to call them. And therefore, if you feel you're good at it, you put more energy into it. You're more motivated to do well in it. You study more. And therefore, you get results. So maybe it's those little successes at the beginning, a little bit of success. It's not the ultimate success at the end of being perfect in that thing. So if you play tennis and you find you're quite good at it, you can hit the ball, you can you know, serve or something. You beat somebody at school, one of your classmates in a game. You go, oh, I like that. I'm quite good at this. I'm better than that person. So that little victory, that little bit of success then encourages you to, oh, I'm going to keep doing this. I like it. I'm going to practice every day to get even better at it.
Sure.
So I think I agree with you. It's that little success at the beginning, doesn't have to be a lot, that then gets the ball rolling. There's an expression going back to, I think, episode number 2 of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It starts meeting, the
right,
process.
At the start of the meeting.
Yeah. And then obviously you practice, you're motivated, you get better, you win a few more games. That gives you more confidence. You continue, you get better. So you get into that dynamic, no?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about success of you win Wimbledon and you're, you know, becoming a professional tennis player.
Sure.
We're not looking at that success, which is maybe what people are thinking of in your survey or your poll.
Yeah.
No, it's like success is now I'm fluent, I'm bilingual in English.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose in many ways it's kind of like not the idea that there's a right or wrong answer here. And it's just kind of analyzing it in more detail probably gives us why 14% felt that success kind of gives confidence, and a massive 84% were talking about confidence gives success. But if you kind of look at that 14%, it's kind of, I suppose, most people are thinking a little bit like I was, I suppose, in the fact that I'm talking about these quick wins, these little wins that you were talking about just now.
Small victories.
You notice, you notice that you're kind of good at something. You notice that it comes naturally to you. You don't have to work that hard and you still get a result, right?
Yeah.
And sort of those wins sort of breed confidence and set up sort of like a virtuous circle, right? It's kind of like
nice expression.
a virtuous circle where success... Let's say a little bit of success gives you a little bit of confidence. And of course, the more confidence you have, then that breeds more success. So it's kind of like a very much a virtuous circle at that point, right? And so it's all connected. Those two questions are really then become absolutely
chicken
connected.
Chicken and egg. And, they're inseparable. Can't have one without the other. But what your point is, the thing that comes, that starts that effect, that virtuous circle or domino effect, you could say maybe, is first those little victories and successes, the noticing, hey, I'm good at this, or I'm better than most people, or the, you know, the majority of people in my class at school, or whatever it may be, your group. No?
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit like the spark that lights the fire, right, in many ways. It's, it's, you know, what have you noticed? What have you, you know, you're like, oh, you know, I scored 3 goals and nobody else did, you know.
So maybe I could be a striker, a forward.
Yeah, whatever it might be, right? And so at that point, you get to, you start to, that starts to build a certain level of confidence. And then maybe the next week you play again and you score 4, right? And you, like, that's also more than everybody else. And then, so that builds your confidence again. And so in the context of languages, you know, it might be, well, you know, I did this and it worked out well. I did this and it, you know, they understood me and I was successful or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's those little gains, little wins,
Gains is a good word, yes. Instead of, those little gains, you can feel that you're gaining, you're increasing, improving, no?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that form makes you feel more confident. And then, as we said, you get into that virtuous circle. You keep going up and up in your level. So, I mean, you asked me about me with Spanish. So, you know what, I studied French at school for 5 years, I think. I was absolutely terrible at it, had no interest, no motivation. Maybe that's because I didn't get those little victories, those little gains. I didn't see any benefit. I didn't see any use to it.
Sure.
I didn't enjoy it. I wasn't good at it. And I failed French. So at that point, my opinion about myself, I didn't have, you know, I wasn't full of confidence about language learning. I assumed I was very bad at languages because I'd failed at French. I'm the only one I'd ever tried. But then I came to live in Spain and I had no choice. I was immersed in the language, and to be able to just live and survive and do everyday tasks like, you know, ordering, well, going to the supermarket, buying food, renting a flat, well, all the things you have to do in normal life every day. You know, so that gave me that motivation. What could you say? Well, it forced me. So it forces you out of your comfort zone. Where you have to use the language, you have to communicate, you have to try to understand to be able to do daily tasks. So you have no choice. So you just do it. Now, that I had no confidence. There was no reason for me to think I would become fluent or be, you know, have a high level of Spanish at that point. Everything pointed to the fact that I wouldn't be able to learn Spanish given my previous failures at French. But no, you know, with time and with a lot of effort and failures and 2 steps forward, one step back. But all those little victories that day, you managed to, you know, oh, I managed to communicate. I understood that person, what they said, and I was able to have a conversation, or, you know, I could buy food. I could call Telefonica and arrange getting a phone line. Or so all these little things every day, these little victories, little wins, you notice you do stuff and it works. You go, oh, wow, that's amazing. And you feel good about yourself, no?
Yeah.
And you start overcoming that fear. So that gives you confidence. And then
it does.
That brings yes. more success, and you get into your virtuous circle, as you were saying.
Yep. Absolutely. And of course, you know, that's a really good example. And that's, I think, why I was surprised by the outcome, because I was thinking of that particular context, that scenario where you are in Spain and you don't have much confidence. You don't have kind of a feeling that you can do this. But you see those small gains, you see a little bit of success, and that gives you that that idea that you can push forward, that you can keep on going, and it gives you more motivation, as you were saying, and it gives you a certain level of discipline as well, because of course, you know, in the context of you the discipline maybe was easy because you were living in the country, right?
So
it was forced on you in some way, and you got no choice, so you do it, but
you still got to, you know, make an effort.
Of course. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I got Intercambios, for example. I looked for people who wanted to exchange English and Spanish. I could have just not done that, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly. I wanted to force myself into those situations to get better.
Yeah.
And it worked, you know, and it helps. And obviously the stuff you do every day. Or you could have just asked a friend, maybe have somebody who speaks Spanish pretty well or better than you. Oh, can you make this phone call? Or can you go to the shop and buy me that food?
Sure.
Yeah, because I don't want to do it. I'm too afraid. They may laugh at me, or they may understand me. I'll look silly. I'll make a fool of myself, which we've covered, referring back to a previous episode.
Absolutely.
And nobody likes making a fool of themselves or being embarrassed.
But if
you don't do that, either because you can't or you don't want to, you've got that self-discipline to say, no, I'm going to do it myself. I have to learn to do this. If I'm going to live here, I've got to learn how to do these things, no? I can't rely on other people all the time to do it for me, or there is no one to do it for you. So I think in that case, it encourages you. You get better, you learn, and you have your setbacks. You have terrible days where nothing works and it's horrible, and nobody understands you, or you don't understand anyone.
but
you know, you just keep going, don't you? And you learn, and you get better, and you get more confident.
Yeah. One interesting thing, of course, is that most of our listeners are not. Or will not be in the same situation as you were at that point, right?
No,
when you came to
this
Spain,
is the problem.
Or the situation that I was when I came to Spain as well, where you've got the language surrounding you. They've put a huge amount of effort into learning English most of the time over years and years and years.
From school,
and
probably, in most cases.
Most of the time, or some academy, or even, you know, both. Getting better also at work and you know, actually starting to use their English in a professional context, right? And this comes a little bit back to the poll and probably why 84% really went for this particular choice, which is the idea of confidence brings success. Because probably 84% of those people already they're not looking for those quick wins or little wins that we were talking about. They already feel that they've got to the point where they're sort of at least intermediate in English. And what they feel they're lacking now is that confidence, right? So if they kind of feel that if they had the confidence, that would then bring success, right? And that's probably why 84% chose that particular choice, right?
That's the conclusion we arrived at when we were analyzing it, no? They're looking at it from a different perspective, a different way of defining or what is success. Exactly, no?
Yeah.
So they're looking at a very high level of they're comparing themselves to native speakers, and then obviously non-native speakers who have excellent levels. So they have colleagues or their boss, whoever is like really fluent in English, and they're like, wow, I'm not as good as them. So they're comparing, when they think of success, they're sort of comparing to, you know, someone almost bilingual or with very fluent in the language, and they don't feel they are at that level, and they probably aren't at that level. But, you know, as you said, they've had all their little successes and little victories years before when they first started learning the language, being able to compose your first sentence or introduce yourself to somebody and understand when somebody asks you a question and respond. So all those years of learning English, they've had success. That's what they don't realize. They're not said, no, where you are now with the level you have, probably intermediate, upper, whatever it may be, B1, B2, that is a good level of English. You speak English.
Mm.
Not perfectly. You're not totally fluent. You can get much better. But you have achieved success to a certain extent, or quite a big extent, actually.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about is comparing yourself to a much higher level that you haven't yet got to. And then you say, oh, if I just had the confidence, I can get to that level, which is probably true. Yes. At that point, yes, maybe they're right. Mm. You know, it's just they're looking at it from a slightly different perspective than we are. No?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly that. Right. And that's kind of where you get sort of different types of people, right? And I think that we've noticed this as well. This kind of like comes back to the idea of self-confidence, right?
Yeah.
Where we see different types of profiles that may be sort of very self-confident. Their English may not actually be that good, but they are more than willing to stand up in front of a big audience, do a complete speech, but yet they're... And from the outside, it may seem as their English is perfect, but if we analyze their English itself, then maybe we would say it's far from perfect, right? There are a lot of mistakes in there, and but it's perceived as that they have a lot of confidence, and so everybody's convinced by their speech.
Yeah, it's sort of marketing, and everything else. Almost, you're selling yourself. So anyone can stand up or be in a meeting and speak a lot and sound fluent. Well, they are fluent. I mean, if they're speaking relatively quickly... with confidence, they sound fluent, they sort of are fluent. But if you actually listen, if we were listening to them as a English teacher, you could be sitting there making notes going, oh, yeah, full of mistakes, wrong prepositions. Their English is not terrible, but it's not that great, actually. But then you ask the other people in the room, the other non-native speakers, who don't have so much self-confidence, are much more self-conscious of being afraid of making mistakes and making fools of themselves. They go, oh God, this guy's brilliant. His English is fantastic. He was talking for 10 minutes without stopping. And you say, well, actually his English is no better than yours, maybe worse than yours in terms of pronunciation and grammar. But what's the difference? They fluent because they don't care. They're not worried. They're not self-conscious about their mistakes. They don't mind making mistakes. They just speak and get on with it. And it impresses people. And we go, oh, they've got a good level.
So,
you know, you could be the same. It's just you're so self-conscious and you haven't got that mindset, that self-confidence to just do it. No, you're That's too right. worried about, oh, I don't want to say anything in case I make a mistake. What will people think of me? And this is the big thing that holds people back at that point to improve. No.
Exactly. And this is kind of where it connects before, where we're talking about the virtuous circle of those quick wins. You know, you build your confidence and that then becomes a virtuous circle, right? At this point, you're much, much higher, completely different part of the journey, right?
Yeah.
But suddenly you're in a situation where you're worried about your confidence, you're worried about it, and you limit yourself. And in that way, as opposed to the virtuous circle that you would have maybe begun with many years ago, you are now potentially in the danger of going into a vicious circle, right? Because you're questioning yourself.
Constantly.
And really, really in the end, the thing that is really holding you back, which is what we kind of started with this whole episode with, and why I genuinely think that it's one of the most important things in terms of language progress, is that your mindset is actually the thing that is limiting you the most.
Yeah, it becomes almost a psychological problem more than a language problem.
Yes.
Yeah, so what people do is they'll start avoiding using this, trying to avoid situations where they'll be forced into having to understand people or to speak. What I said before about, you know, I came to Spain, you go, oh, I've got, yeah, my friend, he's... Spanish is better than mine. Okay, you go to the shop and buy the food for me. So you sort of avoid situations and let other people speak rather than you.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you're afraid of answering the phone because, oh my God, what if it's someone speaking English? What you need to do is actually the opposite, is push yourself out of your comfort zone, excuse me, and deliberately, and it's much easier said than done. Of course, because you're afraid, you're nervous. Is put yourself deliberately into situations where you do have to speak English and understand and communicate as often as you can. And it's only by doing that and suffering, and we mentioned this before, I think, often it's the suffering, unfortunately, that process of suffering improves, will help you to improve, to gain the success you're looking for. You will get better. But if you never practice and you never use it and you avoid every situation you can of speaking English, you're never going to get any better. You're never going to improve. And therefore, you're never going to get that confidence you're looking for. And you get into the vicious circle, no?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another point here, which is probably worth mentioning, is the idea of internal dialogue. Normally, we believe what we keep on telling ourselves. Okay, so a lot of language learners, especially professionals, and in this case, we're talking about professional Spanish speakers who want to, you know, have a good level of professional English. If you keep telling yourself that your English is not good enough, and that it is not enough to, you know, work in a international environment, then really it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Great right? expression.
Yeah, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you tell yourself that, and the number of times that you tell yourself that is probably quite high, can be frequent. Mm. And the number that the more you do it, the more you believe that internal dialogue.
Yeah.
So please be careful with that internal dialogue as well, because that's very much connected to the whole idea of mindset. So if you've got, you know, if you're thinking about mindset, psychology, then also think of that internal dialogue, because the messages that you give to yourself, you will eventually believe them. And if that's what you, is that what you're going to give to yourself, it's definitely going down the wrong route. Okay. So be careful about what, you know, reorientate that internal dialogue to something a lot more positive. It's very important.
Yeah, because those people we're talking about have this supreme self-confidence, not just in language, in life in general, probably. They just really believe in themselves, often based on nothing. I mean, maybe they're not actually that talented or that good, but they totally think they are. And those people succeed very often, or very often, because it's just that self-belief is enough. And often it's marketing, and they manage to convince other people that they're also fantastic when they're maybe not actually that good. So it's the opposite. So they have their internal dialogue is, I'm brilliant at English, I'm fantastic. Well, maybe they're not, but if they believe it, they can make it come true effectively. Yeah. Sure. And the opposite, as you said, the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep telling yourself you're bad at something, then you will be bad at it.
Yes.
So you've got to go overcome that, change that mindset and go, no, actually my English is, it's not perfect. I can be better. Of course, you can always get better.
Yeah.
But having that confidence that, yeah, but it's pretty good and I can survive in this environment and I can use it and communicate.
Yeah.
So often, I mean, a number of times I've had clients in my coaching sessions, the first thing they say to me is, oh, sorry, they apologize. My English is terrible. That's the first thing they say almost.
So
you can't start with that at the beginning and apologizing for your English. You go, no, you're... And then we do the first session and we, you know, tell me about your job and what you do. And they, you know, they're speaking for an hour in a class or a session. And I say, but you said your English is terrible. We've just been communicating for an hour, having a conversation. Your English is perfect. It's not the best English in the world. You made some mistakes, but it's great.
Sure.
What you've just done now, you can do that every day in your job. So why do you say your English is terrible? Say, because my colleagues, my boss, their English is much better than me. I say, well, you say that, you think it, maybe it isn't. If I listen to them, from a teacher's perspective, coach, I might say, well, their English is no better than yours, or maybe worse than yours. Just they got that confidence that you haven't.
Yeah.
That you lack. Yeah, they've got that self-belief.
Really important. Really, really important. Probably the most important episode that we've actually ever recorded, Alistair. Really, really important. Yeah,
this is more of a psychology session. You
know, absolutely.
Therapy.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Therapy for our listeners. So, yeah. Mm. I don't think I can even go through the whole of that because the concepts were so difficult to really review. But what we started off with is this, obviously, whole idea of mindset, the whole idea of the chicken and the egg, el huevo o la gallina. And this poll and it kind of how it was very interesting and the results in it specifically and why those results surprised me. But I think now, having gone through all of it, it's kind of very evident why 84% decided that it was confidence that they were looking for, and that confidence brings success, because that's what the majority of people are looking for at this point in their journey, right?
Yeah.
And that's very, very important. But again, I think it's just really to reinforce this whole idea of thinking about your mindset in terms of, you know, language, and making sure that you're on the right path, because it really is absolutely fundamental. So, Alistair, thank you very much for your time. As usual, it was really interesting, really inspiring. And I guess we'll see each other next week.
Yeah, thank you. A pleasure as always.
All right. Speak soon. Cheers.
See you next week. See you. Ciao.
Bye-bye.